Welcome to ICA Podcast 9. The goal of ICA Podcast 9 is to provide insightful information about the industry to members and non-members of Intercoiffure America Canada, the voice for salon owners. Each week, we'll bring business, educational, and inspirational topics to aid anyone with ties to the beauty industry. We will have a revolving series of hosts, pulling from industry leaders as hosts and guests to keep things lively and interesting, and make you wonder what's coming next. Now, here's this week's edition of ICA Podcast 9.
I want to thank everybody for being with us today, and I have a great person that you're going to enjoy listening to. This is Intercoiffure America Canada podcast, and I'm Sheila Wilson, the president, and I'm here today with Hans Burkett. He is from Chicago, and Hans, welcome.
Good morning, and thank you for having me. I will introduce myself again. My name is Hans Burkett, and I'm in the school part of the industry. And let's talk a little bit.
Yeah, and you're a member of Intercoiffure America Canada, yes, as a school owner. And how many years have you been involved in Intercoiffure?
I've been involved directly with Intercoiffure, other than being a guest occasionally in the past, since 2018.
Wow, perfect. And you came in like a lightning rod. I mean, you set everybody on fire about the educational system and how to work with schools and just the awareness of the differences between salons and school owners. And I'm just going to say this, not as a negative, but you know, there's always been, well, the schools aren't doing what the salon owners need. And then the schools are saying, well, the salon owners aren't reciprocating what the school are doing. And I mean, you definitely brought that to a huge halt and conversation within our organization. And we realized that there was just a lot of miscommunication and misinformation. And now we've got a huge initiative started, basically from you and a few others that brought the attention to what we need to do to bond our bridge, the salon owners with the school owners. So let's talk about your school, and let's talk about the things that you do in it, and what you see that needs to be changed moving forward within the educational system of the beauty industry.
Well, first of all, in our school, many years ago already, we've decided to make the class sizes very small, six or less in a group. And that's so people don't fall through the cracks, so to speak, and they get more of that direct hands-on support from the educators within the school, as opposed to the older style, should we say, for lack of a better expression, of, you know, 40, 50 kids in a group. And that has been a huge thing. We do like to bring in outside educators, especially people from Intercoiffure and that are very successful in the industry, and really talk about why they're successful, as opposed to, you know, just the core education, which they all need to get started, but what is it going to take to get to that point? And that's what we really focus on quite a bit. Also, from the student perspective, how do we connect with them? It's very different today. And a lot of times they're still, oh, let's come out to the school only and we'll just give a talk about our place. No, how about we come to you and we're a guest there? It's a different experience, a different perspective, and there's a much better connection with the student and also the teachers that are in the school, you know, with the salons, especially with the Intercoiffure salons. It's just a much better career path and experience for hairdressers and barbers alike.
I see the barber pole behind you, and I know that you have you have some amazing razors. And so let's talk about that for a little bit, because you happened to give my husband a gift of one of those, and it's like his prized possession now. So let's talk about barbering, and what do you do to promote the business and that among your students, or do you have a separate barbering? How does Chicago work with that? Because I know every state's a little bit different.
It's a separate license. There's a lot of cosmetologists because we have a really nice crossover program in Illinois now for about 5 years, I think it is, where they only need 500 more hours to get their barber license as well as their cosmo. But the barber course is a 1,500-hour course on its own. In Illinois, barbers don't do nails, but as far as barbering, that's just a huge part of the industry. It's exploding. It's not just growing, it's exploding, you know. And really, I don't have to do a whole lot for that. People are like, I want to be a barber, I want to shave, I want to see these nice techniques and blades and shears and all that. And now we have this wonderful razor company out of Texas that has made a beautiful, it looks like a safety razor. It operates like a straight razor, just a beautiful blade, great experience. It's also something that we can make better connections with the clients because they can do it at home because most people aren't coming in once a week for a shave like many years ago. So we want to have classes and train them, and they have the at-home version of that blade. And plus, we also use the wonderful DX Designer razor, which is incredible. I got to say, they made it well.
It is like the Porsche of razors. Yeah. Oh my gosh, slick, beautiful. I mean, it looks really nice as well as the balance of it. I mean, it's like an award almost when you hold it. It's so balanced. It's amazing. I mean, I even was impressed when I picked it up and say, oh my gosh, this is great. So did you design that?
I did not design it. I found it actually through a series of events and looking for a better razor. And of all things, I found not just on the internet through Google, but as far as the Texas made product, that I found that on Shark Tank. So,
did you know, really?
Yes, I did. And it is just an incredible, it's kind of counterintuitive too. It's a very sharp blade, but it's actually a very thick blade. And so is the feather for the DX. It's a thicker blade, but it's the perfect shape if you know how to use it. You still need that training, you know, and that's just a wonderful spa-like treatment. And that kind of focuses on the needs of today's clients as well.
Right.
You know, this is their respite. Sometimes this might be the only respite they get. And you want to get that experience, and you want the student to have that experience of or giving that experience to a client to know what it's like, what everything should be like, how clean your environment should be, you know, what you're talking about, what you're not talking about. Because, you know, the world is so stressful as it is. We do not need any more stress. And that's a huge way to engage people. It always has been. But I think even more important today than ever before.
I totally agree. So let's switch over and talk about Mondial, which is, you know, so that everybody knows, Mondial is the headquarters or the name, the umbrella of Intercoiffure, and Mondial represents the global part of it, which we are, Intercoiffure America Canada is a section, as well as I think 41 other countries. And Mondial is located in Paris, and they have a World Academy, and you've been a part of it. You've had a lot of training for your students. Talk about that and how important it is for the students to be globally connected as well as, you know, just connected within their own city.
Yeah. Oh, the experience of World Academy is unbelievable. You know, the one thing that just always comes to mind, inspirational. It is unbelievable to work with these, you know, industry icons and just such talented artists. And the students get a chance to do that. And I have to give great credit for the Get Hair app that they use as well. To Andreas Enfield. I'll give a name plug there. He's been incredible in the
now,
sense
plug
of
plug all
being...
of them because they're brilliant. Plug all of them.
Oh yeah. You know, it's just the way he's been able to design this app to connect with this younger generation in particular. They're not us, you know, they use the technology and they need it to be what they want it to be as far as how do they connect, what engages them in the education. And that has been paramount to going into the future with education in this industry. Probably every industry needs that. And maybe a lot of them do have it, but the GetHaire app has been really, really good. And Andreas and I have been working on the more core education for the newbie, for, again, lack of a better expression, somebody just getting into the industry, to get that core foundational education so you can build on to that properly. I've never actually been until recently to the Mondial headquarters in Paris. That was also just incredible. Very welcoming people and very educated and talented people that are all involved there. And it really takes you to a new level in every part of education, just in general being of an individual, because they are warm and welcoming and engaging, but also just so willing to share their knowledge. And that is a difference. I think there's so much education out there. Nobody wants to share. They want to share. They want to elevate this industry. They want to, you know, bring it to the highest levels ever thought of, maybe not even thought of yet in the industry. It is just quite the experience that everybody should have. And with that experience, I mean, I was really afforded, you know, if I can kind of segue into my own experience of an education. I was very fortunate that I had a father that, you know, paid for all of it, but going from the Tristinos and the Tricosis in the 1980s, early 1980s, to even having a great educational experience with Vidal Sassoon, as well as a gentleman by the name of Carl Coombs. And you know, just, you just can't get that, I don't think, anymore. I was afforded that. And, you know, that, I don't even have words for that. I think you have to get all the knowledge you possibly can and really kind of get their experiences, because they've gone through it. They've all gone through it, and they've had bad times. They've had good times. And you have to learn from both of it, you know, both ends of that, the bad and the good, because there's very, very different, you know, learning areas in your own mind, in your brain. And I always say, and I firmly believe this, you learn more from mistakes than you do from just perfection. If you can be perfect in some area, whether it be business, whether it be the crafts that we do itself, you learn more from mistakes. Long as you can, I suppose, you have to take note of why something worked, why something didn't work.
You know who Anna Petito is, right? She's our artistic director for Intercorp Fiore. She said something not too long ago that just, I've got it written on my calendar. Well, it's a big thing I have in my office, and it says she's never had a failure to fail her, because she said every failure that she's had has proved to be the next step to success, her next step to success. And I think that is, you know, what you said is so valuable. And if the students and the newbies, as you call them, can understand that as soon as they come in, I think then they wouldn't be as anxious of making a mistake, but just going forward and learning. So the opportunities that they have ahead of them, because we have some incredible educators now in the industry. We always think about the ones that used to be, but you know, now we've got this generation of educators that are so amazing. And I know that you are so intent about bringing those educators to your students and to your schools. So how do you see the future headed for these students coming into school? Do you see them like staying in the industry more than they have in the past because of the opportunities? Just share your thoughts on that.
I think there's the opportunity for them, more of them, to stay in the industry and make a great career. But I think some of the thinking still has to be cultivated, because there's this independent idea that it's wonderful to be alone, I suppose, and just do your own thing, be your own boss. But we're never, especially in the direct service industry, we're not our own bosses anyway. Our clients really are. And you know, we have to get to the point of we need to work together. That's my biggest problem with technology, I think, today, is we have so much more communication, but we don't communicate. And that's what IntegraFear, the outreach you guys have been doing, is absolutely vital for the growth and for the advancing of this industry that we love and enjoy and we've had great careers with. There's just not that that camaraderie that there used to be. And I think that's slowly changing because they're seeing, oh, these people are very successful. They're wonderful. They're talented. And they're sharing, you know, and that's why I see it, you know, going with that potential to really grow again and be big again. Not that it isn't big, but, you know, to really, really advance. And we're not outsourced. And that's a huge thing. And every industry is being outsourced. Even the military is being outsourced. We are not. The robots haven't taken over our industry yet, and the computers really haven't either. They've helped with the business side of things, but the craft is a very tactile, you know, manual dexterity, you know, founded industry that the robots and the computers don't have for any foreseeable time in the future yet. And that's great for us because things are just changing so rapidly. You know, just from your typical retail shopping experiences, so much more is just done automatically on your phone, online, whatever you want to do, including grocery shopping, you name it. And even buying, you got a holiday coming up, you have Thanksgiving, you know, people aren't cooking as much as they used to. They just have it delivered. And yet in hair, you can't do that like that. You have to be there. You have to be physically engaging with somebody. And that's why I see the growth in our industry. And I see this younger generation seeing what's going on because they're hungry. They're eager to learn. And they want to see more than TikTok to inspire them and to train them. They want to see the actual person, whether it be on a video or not. But then if they can mimic that and do that, not just for the quick TikTok video, but for engagement of people and clients and employers and maybe employees, depending on where they go in the industry, they may be an employer. So there's just so many areas of growth. We're right there on the edge to just this industry just completely exploding again and in so many ways.
You know, one of the things that you said was about the connection, and you're right, because I think one of the biggest comments that we've had from the collaboration of everybody coming back out of the COVID, and I'm really tired of talking about COVID, but it really brought a lot of good things to the forefront and made us aware that the power of that touch that we have, or that experience, or just that 15 minutes of relaxation of having somebody else do something for you, it de-stressed so many people. And you know, that even the doctors now say that they had that whole thing of COVID hair. Everybody lost hair.
Yeah.
And I had a long conversation with a group of doctors the other day, and they said that they really thought they lost hair, not only because of the stress, but because they had no way of any time in their 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, it went into months and a year, for someone to touch them and relax them. So now we are definitely essential. I don't think we will ever be closed down again, right? Because I definitely think our industry is essential instead of the non-essential, which really irritated me to know that the government labeled us as non-essential.
Yeah. Some of them went and got their hair done during all this, and I'm not going to poke at anybody, but
yeah,
you know, and here's the thing too, for so many people, it may be a sad reflection on what goes on in society, but it might be the only safe touch they get.
That's exactly right.
And that's huge. And I've said this over and over. I know you've heard me say it, you know, doctors can make you well, but we make you feel good.
That's right.
You know, that's really what it's about, you know, and fashion too. You got it. You know, there was a little bit of a loss of fashion sometimes every now and then throughout, you know, the cultural history of every society. But I think we're seeing a lot more beautiful fashion again. And that to me is just, it gives me a good feeling. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think pretty is coming back. You know, it's okay to look good and to dress well. And I totally agree with you. It's definitely coming back. And I think we have to be ready for it. And, you know, I love these new kids coming out of school. They have a whole fresh approach to it. And they're excited. And I love it when they're going, they like vintage clothes and looks, the 80s.
Yes, they do.
The 80s, what? I've got that in my closet.
I'm still living it.
I know, right? So everything is from a different perspective, I'm sure. So tell me one piece of advice that you would give to a student as they leave your school. And then the other is, tell me a piece of advice that you would say or give to a salon owner when they're looking to interview a student.
So one piece of advice for a student when they're leaving school is, number one, don't give up. Yeah, and I'm talking about the simple things. Sometimes it's like, oh, I'm going to a salon, they have a training program, and I'm not really getting this cut. I thought I knew it. Number one, there's an intimidation factor. So somehow just keep on pressing along. And, you know, they want the best out of you too, because let's look at life. It's dollars and cents. If you are giving the right product that they want their clients and they need their clients to have, and their clients want and need, you just got to be persistent. Don't give up. And then, and a lot of them think also, it's like, well, geez, you know, I've been doing this now for 9 months. and it's like, you know, we've been doing it a lot longer. And I tell you what, it took me a long time to consider myself good at hair cutting. And I always thought I was a little cocky. I thought I was good. But then all of a sudden you say, oh, geez, this is actually better. I should have done it that way. And so my advice to them is, be persistent, be tenacious, for another expression, and keep on pushing forward, achieve your dreams. And as far as the owners and salon owners and shop owners out there go, you know, they're hungry. Keep them inspired. Show them that there's a path to achieve and to get to different levels within the industry, whether it be levels in your business or just levels in the industry. We have to remember, you know, as much as, and I joke around about this all the time, because I have family members that are very long lived. You know, I say I'm going to live forever, but I'm not. And part of the thing is not just getting great employees that have incredible careers, but we do have to grow buyers. You know, so many businesses don't have exit strategies. And this is something that I think a lot of IntercoFear has been looking at more and more. And it's a smart thing to do, because, you know, it just makes it right for everybody. And it establishes the future of your company as you retire, you know, because at some point we all kind of, you know, can only do so much. And when you're 80, 90 years old, you might not want to do as much. And the younger generation needs to take over.
Right. Absolutely.
So give them a path, basically, for their future.
Well, I know that you're doing so much to help IntercoFear with our initiative between the schools and giving awareness to the teachers, you know, introducing them to what successful salon owners and successful stylists are like. And I cannot thank you enough, because you really have, and I say this straight from my heart, that you have definitely kickstarted all the conversations, and which has led us to creating a real program to make sure that that we mend that bridge, or even we build better bridges so that the students can have a good, successful career in this business, just like we all have had. So I want to thank you.
And I want to say just a couple things. I say a little plug for two people. Perry, of course, Perry Monge, he is fantastic with bringing up young talent and giving them career directions. I can't thank him enough for showing me what he does, how he presents things. Also, Reg Laws. Oh, man. I can't say enough about him. He also shuts me up when I shouldn't be speaking and I should be listening. Reg is just a fantastic, well-educated and trained individual, very disciplined. Thank you, Reg.
And you know, Hans, that's what Interculture is all about. There are so many brilliant, talented, giving, inspirational people that are members and partners of Interculture. And that in itself is, I think, the reason to be a part of Interculture is not only what you can bring to the table, but what you share when everybody's at the table. And you're right. I could name about 100 people, you included, that, but it is interesting that every so often one or two or three that you've known comes a little bit closer, and it's that time for you to be close to them and sort of glean information or share information, and you're going, man, I've known them forever and just didn't take the time to open up a conversation. But it is magical when it happens.
It is. Yeah, it's very magical. And let's not forget, you helped put together that whole cutting council too, which, you know, cutting really is something that needs to be elevated more in the industry again.
Yeah, it is. It is the very foundation of our industry. It is a craft that can be taught based on facts rather than a subjective look, like color. I mean, fundamental information on hair color is going to make it work or not, but a haircut is not as subjective as color is. So, well, I really appreciate you. I appreciate your time today and your sharing with Interculture and of course with the industry, because this is going to go to everybody. And then I will be in touch. Oh, by the way, we're going to be in Chicago in the fall of 2023. We're going to be back there. So
you're in my backyard. I love it.
Absolutely. And we definitely use your backyard while we're there too.
Yes. And, so, and I think that would be great. And honestly, you know, maybe we can arrange for something. Come on over to the school too. Let's have a little fun with some of our internationals, because I don't have it in stone yet, but Andreas might be back as well.
Oh, good. We'll find out. Sure. Well, maybe we can do the hands-on at your school.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah. I think that
would
be awesome.
I've got it on record now.
You do, Sheila. And thank you and the entire Interculture family for allowing me to be part of this great organization and for today's podcast as well.
Okay. Thank you so much. And I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye now.
Thank you for joining us for the ICA Podcast 9 podcast. Be sure to tune in next week for more industry insight and information. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast too and share it with your friends in the industry. Our only goal is to bring people together and share information with those that need it. Intercoiffure America Canada is proud to be the voice for salon owners. For more information about us, visit intercoiffure.com. That's intercoiffure.com.